pray God will meet your needs to do His work. That's from Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 25. So, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing you pray for in the Lord's Prayer, the first petition, is hallowed be your name. Now we know God's name will be hallowed when His kingdom comes. But for God's kingdom to come, His will has to be done. His word must be preached, believed, and obeyed. And for God's word to be preached and believed and obeyed, you need sustenance. See how all the petitions are linked. So, hear today about this fourth petition for sustenance in the Lord's Prayer. Our headings are two, the nature of the fourth petition and the necessity of the fourth petition. And our goals are that as God's children through Jesus Christ, who desire to work for the establishment of God's kingdom, for His name to be hallowed, you will pray that God will meet all your physical needs. Question 25 then says, what does the fourth request mean? Together, give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do any without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. The nature of the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. Now, what is this daily bread for which you must ask? Well, Jesus used the common word bread because it was the most needful thing for the body. But His intention in the prayer is that God will provide everything you need for your body. The most important need was symbolized by bread. So it's okay to ask for a new computer and a new pair of shoes or a car or all the things you need. But it's symbolized by the first and most important need you have physically, which is for bread. When you pray for daily bread, you are praying that God will give you good health, that God will give you strength, that God will give you a good job, that God will give you the clothing you need, that God will give you the place to live, anything that's physical. It's important, too, to realize, though, when you ask for your daily bread, you're recognizing that only God is able to give these things to you. Remember what we heard not too long ago from James chapter 1, verse 17, which says, together, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. You know where the bad gifts come from, don't you? But the good ones come from God. And you realize when you think that way, it must come from God, it's because you are not sufficient. You don't own anything. You don't deserve anything. No man does. You see how this goes against the modern sentiment that I deserve this. I have a right to this. No, you don't. This was the truth that Nebuchadnezzar had to come to terms with when he lived for 7 years with the wild animals and ate grass like a wild beast. Because God was saying, you think you are the king of the universe. I'll show you who is the king of the universe. And thankfully, Nebuchadnezzar got that message. He was not the king of the universe. He said, there's none like the God who rules heaven and earth after. So that's what it's at the background. When you ask God, you're saying, yeah, you got to help me. I can't do it. But you also remember that when God gives you things, you only have stewardship of what God gives to you. You don't have ownership. So you can't not do, or you may not do, anything you want with the things that God has given to you. Remember when God took Israel from Egypt to Canaan? Remember what he did to the Canaanites? He said, destroy them all. Why? Because God owned the land and he said, I am giving this land now to you, the Jewish people. They didn't own the land. Now they were destroyed because, of course, of their wickedness. But the land belonged to God. Your house belongs to God. Your car belongs to God. Your good health belongs to God. You aren't rich. God is rich. He has given you some things to be stewards of. You are rich stewards. And that means then, since you are merely stewards, you're not to be boastful. God wants to curb your boastfulness. And that's why we go and say, give me, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Look at Psalm 104, verse 27 through 29. Together, these all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. How humbling this is, isn't it, for people who think, well, I'm so bright, I'm so rich. I make a lot of money. Look at what I've accomplished. You forget that even your mind is from God. And you, even when you study, you're only discovering what God has put in place. There's nobody who has discovered anything that God was... Oh, I missed that. Not at all. And when you pray for your daily bread, you're recognizing that God is willing to give you what you need. Remember, we started with our Father in heaven. And then now, give us this day our daily bread. If God provides for animals and grass, won't he provide for you who were redeemed by his Son? Look, he gave the sun and the rain even to wicked people. His kindness will surely come upon you. He's willing to give you what's good. I hope you've memorized this passage, but we will say it again together. Matthew 6, 25 and 26. Together, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So you're more valuable than the wicked. You're more valuable than the birds. You're more valuable than the grass. Surely, if God takes care of them, he will take care of you. And by the way, who else could you go to if you wanted needful things? Who owns all things? You don't go to the banker to fix your broken down car. You go to a mechanic. You don't go to a poor man and say, hey, help me. You don't go to a garbage collector and say, I got a medical problem. You go to the one who has the source of all power, who knows you inside and out, who owns all things, and say, this is what I need. Psalm 145, verse 15 and 16. Together, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open hand and satisfy the desire of every living. You ever seen your mother has a nice batch of cookies and smelling the house, and then the kids are looking up like, oh. You look at their faces and they have the most pitiful look. When is it going to come my way? You know, that's how we have to go to God. He's got the goodies. He's got the things you need. And you go to Him and say, I got nothing. I don't even know how to turn on the oven. You've got what I need. To you I will come. And you don't want to go to the devil, because what does he give? He gives poison pills. It may taste good going down, but it'll kill you. That's the devil. That's his ways. And by the way, the devil literally used poison pills. Look at what's happening in our society of people who are taken over and destroyed by drugs. I give you a faulty statistic. Not long ago, I said there were 25,000 people who died in the U.S. last year just on one type of drug. It's 110,000. Just one type. They're literally feeding people things that destroy them. When you pray, number four, when you pray for daily bread, you're praying also for sufficient things. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky now. You're praying for your daily bread. You're not saying, Lord, give me my yearly bread. Give me everything now. And the reason this is not the best word is because this word is only used here. Daily is not a word that's found constantly, so we know how it is used. It actually means sufficient bread. Give me what I need. Give me sufficient things that I need today. So you don't pray that God will make you so rich that you start to hoard and say, God, give me the perfect house. Give me lots of money in the bank. Give me security so then I can cruise. God wants you to do all of these things. You have to work every day. You have to take care of your family every day. You have to do your devotional life every day. You have to worship God on Sunday. You have to visit your family and friends. You have to call your mother. All of these things have to be done every day on a regular basis. So you can't just pray, give me enough food so I don't have anything to do. I don't have to work anymore. Look at the craving in our society to make us work less and less. Now they're experimenting, not just with 4-day work weeks, but 3-day work weeks. We've done this really crazy thing here in Canada and lots of countries where doctors are working for 24 hours. The ones who have to make all kinds of decisions. I know when I'm just writing sermons, how easy it is to make mistakes when you're tired and you're typing. But we want to reduce it and reduce it and reduce it. Now, they have different reasons for that, of course. But the point is, we have to be careful that we don't try to run away from work and run away from living that balanced life. It's sufficient bread we are praying for, so that we don't end up in that place of hoarding. You always have to work. You always have to be involved in your family. You always have to be involved in church. One of the problems we've seen here in many churches is that when people get rich, they retire, they get a little older, 6 months they spend in Florida, and they abandon their duties for their churches here. You can't really serve the church properly that way. Third, under point four, pray for bread. God didn't promise cake. Pray for bread. God didn't promise cake. God does not promise luxuries. He may give you luxuries. We thank God for it. Be careful that you're not demanding what God never promised. There's a famous preacher in television who said, of course, Jesus was very rich, and he was trying to use this as a basis of saying, you need to be rich, and you need to have faith, or you will get rich. And his thing is, well, Jesus was in the boat, and he had a pillow. And therefore, if you have a pillow on a boat, you have to be rich. And then he says, I got more evidence. You know, Jesus, they had a money box, and they often helped the poor. So if you have a money box, you got to be rich. Well, I know people with bank accounts, and they have nothing in them. Doesn't make you rich because you have a bank account. But that's the silliness of that notion that God is obligated to make us very rich. In fact, we learn that God wants some people to be poor so they can work with people who are poor. God wants some people to be rich so they will work with people who are rich. And by the way, people who are poor often give more percentage-wise than people who are rich. That's been proven many, many times. So saying that you have to be rich, you have to have a lot of money, is not consistent with the teaching of the Scriptures. And four, if you do have extra, thank God for it. If you do have extra, enjoy it. If you do have extra, share it. Number five, when you pray for daily bread, you're thinking covenantally. And you say, where do I see that? Well, the expression, he didn't say, give me my daily bread. He said, give us this day our daily bread. You pray for all God's people. Well, this is where it gets personal now. It's easy to pray, Lord, you know how much I need that new car. You know how much I need that new job. Do you pray with similar fervor for others? Because you're part of a covenant. When a baby is baptized, you all took a vow saying, we're going to hold Marcus responsible for his life and how he's living and encourage and pray for him. Do you do that for each other? That's what you're praying for. You're praying for your neighbor, your brother, your sister. That new member of the church. He will find that job. And he will get his needs met as well. And by the way, when people, if you pray for them and they get rich, they're rich people who often give jobs to poor people. So you need to pray that others will get rich. And not be like in our society. We're being indoctrinated that we must be envious and despise rich people. You're privileged, as if there's something sinful about privilege. The rich people who provide jobs, they open the businesses. Poor people don't start big companies. They don't have the money. So pray that people will get rich as well. But this is not a prayer, of course, for communism. That everyone must have equal amount of wealth or poverty, which is what communism usually brings. And they want to use the force of the civil government to do so. One of the big pushes here, and watch out, it may very well come to Canada sooner than you think, something called guaranteed income. So whether you work or not, you will get a check. Now, how will that happen? The government will steal from other people and give it to you, since the government doesn't produce anything. It must use force, threat of jail. If you don't pay your taxes, you go to jail, and then they'll take your taxes and give guaranteed income to others. No, you need to pray that people will succeed, but pray that the government will stop this wicked scheme of redistributing wealth. That's a great evil. Share what you have too, so that God will bless you. Be generous to the poor, but be generous with your own money. With your own money. And if you're providentially poor, don't be ashamed to receive from others. This is what God intends. You know, it takes a lot of grace and humility to receive, because sometimes people don't want to accept because they're too proud. But you're also denying other people. It's like someone who is sick. Some of us struggle and say, we don't want to be old and sickly and have people take care of us. That's our pride. Because God may want to train you, the younger ones, to take care of the older ones. And similarly, if you have to be in the receiving end, now not if you're lazy. If you're lazy, you should starve. But if you are working and trying by God's grace, and you're still poor, that's why we send money overseas. We help other people. Because they try and they work and they don't have jobs or they're not able to feed their families, then we help them. And they have to have the humility to receive that. Now let's move from the nature of this to the necessity. Why is this so important to pray in this petition. First of all, you pray for your needs because your survival depends on it. You need God to provide for you and bless what you have and bless what you do. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 25. Paul in the Areopagus, he said, together, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. What does he give to all? Everything they have. Everything they have. You need God. You need to pray this prayer then. And how humbling this must be to those of higher education. You got your PhD and your master's degree, and you got to go to God and ask for things. You're a CEO or a supervisor of a big company, you have to go to God and ask for things. For those who think, I don't need anyone, so tied so nicely with the first sermon. The ones with the ego, I don't need anybody. That's the phrase, I don't need a man. That's the same thing that carries over. I don't need God. I've got everything I want. You go and ask. When people say, I work for everything I own, and the old people like to say this, by the sweat of my brow. Well, whose sweat do you have? Whose brow do you have? We're all gifts of God. My skills and my smarts, I'm into real advanced science. Where did that come from? Whose truths did you find out in your studies but God? You see, when you take credit that way, you're denying God His glory. You're forgetting that your ability and your gifts are from God. If God doesn't bless your work, it brings curses on you, not blessings. So pray before you go to work in the morning. While you're waiting for that car to warm up in the lovely Canadian winter, pray. When you come back home, before you rush in and say, time for dinner, thank God for safety on the road. Thank God for a successful day at work. Don't boast in the new car you bought. Be thankful for the new car you bought, that God blessed you. Second, why is it necessary? You pray for your needs because your service to God depends on it. You have no means to accomplish the task that God has given to you on earth. Task you must do because He is your creator and He is your recreator. God does not give you provisions for daily life just because He wants to be charitable. God calls you to do His work. He wants you to raise your children in the fear of the Lord, but He knows you have to feed them to do so. And therefore, you need God to help you. You pray, give us food so I can feed my children. This is why He gives you anything at all. You are in this world for His glory. And God gives you, of course, based on your need to work. He doesn't give you things you don't need, but things you need to do His work. Number three, necessity. You pray for God to meet your needs because God commands you to pray. It isn't necessary you pray. Now, when you ask, you are acknowledging that God is the source of all things. Now, the thing is this. Does God know you need everything, every single thing you need? Yes. He knows when you need the tiniest thing. And yet He commands you to ask. Because when you pray, you're acknowledging that He is God, that He is King of the world. You're acknowledging His greatness. And that's what He wants you to do. That's why you pray this prayer. Acts chapter 14, verse 17 says, together, nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. It's the greatness of God that you have. What you have, and that's what you're acknowledging when you're saying, give us this day our daily bread. You're saying, I know I have to acknowledge that you are the great God. If you don't pray, you're robbing God then of his glory. And he wants you to ask for your needs so that you will praise him when he meets those needs in your life. And this is why you need to teach your children. Teach your children to pray for needful things, as this is what God commands. Number four, when God answers your prayers, this is why you need to pray as well, your faith will be strengthened. Every time God meets your need, you say, oh wow, I didn't expect that. Look how God provided for me, kept me safe. I'm driving down the road and there's this crazy driver, and I'm able to avoid it or avoid a worse accident we had this week. And you remember, God, how much he loves you. You see his sovereign hand in your life and in your duty. And the more you do, the more you will trust him. I love this passage in Psalm 62, verse 8 through 11. Let's read this together. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. He is the one. It doesn't matter whether you're rich. It doesn't matter whether you're poor. Power belongs to him. And when you know that's the one who loves you, oh, that adds to your strength. That's the one. That's the true and living God. Remember the prophets of Baal? They cried out and cried out on the mount with Elijah. And their gods will not respond. They could even mock their gods, and the gods couldn't respond and say, I'll shut them up. So, what is your response? You take what God provides in substance and strength, and you use them. You know they're from him. You go to bed, and you rest your head on your pillow, in peace and quiet at night, because he'll take care of you. He'll give you what you need. He's the one with the power. You don't obsess about what others have and you wish you had. You don't get high blood pressure because the stock market goes down. Or maybe you don't like the election results, like many people, I'm sure, have had higher blood pressure in the United States. But as a Christian, you learn God's the one who is in charge. He's the one who does what is good. You don't become depressed if you don't get to marry the person that you thought was perfect for you, because God will take care of you. He will give you what is good. He's the sovereign God of all the heaven and earth. You don't whine when you don't get the job you want and say, what's going to happen to me? That's the job I wanted. God will provide for you. And in due time, he'll provide the job that's good for you. And then five, in terms of necessity, you pray for God to meet your needs because men can't meet your needs. And we see that displayed in Canada and the United States recently. Those of us who were hoping that we'd have godly governments have been cursed with wicked men who lead us. But that's a reminder that we don't put our hope in politicians. Yeah, there are many who want the politicians to provide for us from the womb to the tomb. But they're denying God's provisions. They're forgetting that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Take all our political leaders, and 50 years from now, they'll likely all be dead. But who will remain?
God will.
God will. Psalm 146, verse 3, 7, and 9. Together, do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. You know, when you see how we speak of the Lord providing for us, we are moved to praise Him. No, next week will make 40 years since my father died. As a teenager, we look at that, I look back and think, oh, I was so mad at God. All our needs are not going to be met now. And yet I see how much God took care of us for 40 years. Man can't meet your needs. And we learned that very quickly. My father died, 43 years old. The prophet Jeremiah echoed the same sentiment. And he said it in an even stronger way. In Jeremiah 17, 5 and 7, he says, together, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. You hope in the Lord Himself. And then the writer of Hebrews puts it in a positive and a really encouraging way when he's saying, God is your helper, man is not. God may use helper. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, together, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the father will go, the politician will go, the friend will go, the wife will go, the husband will go. Who will stay forever? The Lord, the covenant God. And another reason you should pray this way, because when you pray this way and God meets your needs, and you do the work God has called you to do, you will receive that believer's reward in heaven. Not salvation, that's paid for by Christ. But the rewards will come when you use God's gifts. And isn't that interesting? He gives you gifts, He gives you strength, He gives you wisdom to use those gifts. And then He's pleased to reward you for using those gifts. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, together, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is a reward, and it is coming. Let's conclude. God wants you to pray for your daily needs. God has the ability and willingness to meet your needs. And if you don't ask for the things you need, you won't get them, and you won't be able to properly do the work that God has called you to do. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, acknowledge that you are God's covenant child through Jesus Christ. And this relationship means you are able to go to Him to ask for things you need, and He will provide for you. There's no prayer without the sacrifice of Jesus. A Hindu can't pray. He might make sacrifices. It means nothing. Christian can. So acknowledge your relationship. And then ask. Ask your God for bread, not for manna. Manna fell from the sky. But bread comes through hard work. God's provision does not cancel or negate the fact that you have to work. Don't expect to eat without working. If you don't work, you mustn't eat. It doesn't mean you have to have a job outside, but you have to be active doing something. God has ordinarily ordained means for providing. Could he provide miraculously? Sure. But I often say, when you ask, give us this your daily bread, don't wish for that bread to come through your roof. The snow will come after it. Pray that you will be able to work to provide. And third, in God's providence, you may be poor. Sometimes some may work and study hard, but they don't have a lot. God wants some that way. He uses all kinds of people in different ways for His kingdom. So don't be lazy. Then four, if God gives you more than you need, share. Don't hoard. The tighter you squeeze your hand, the more likely the honey will escape. And if you're not a Christian, the things you need the most is not material things. The things you need the most is a heart that has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Ask God to renew your heart, to wash you and make you clean. Without that washing, you will still be in your sins. And you could own the world, but it will mean nothing. You'll be lost for all eternity in the terrors of hell. And you won't even be able to take the things you own to use in hell. Let's pray. Forgive us, Father, for having sinned against you, of being selfish, of trying to take credit for what you have done, of thinking that we are able to accomplish anything by our own. Rather, help us to realize that all the gifts we need come from you, and that we must depend upon you, and we must pray for you, to you, and we must teach our children to ask for things that are good, and that they will learn to give God the thanks when He provides for them, whether through our labor or otherwise. For Lord, we know every good gift comes from you. And that is your promise to us. Hear us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.